Almighty God's response to the northern invasion of Israel is swift. I'm Dr. Fred, and you're listening to Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRubo.
Dr. Fred here. Thanks for joining me. Another episode of Study, Grow, Know. And last time, we continued our discussion of the northern invasion and God's reaction to it. We talked about the fact that he was going to send, in his anger, a tremendously powerful earthquake that would be noticed by every living thing and affect inanimate objects like mountains and trees and other things like that. Almighty God ultimately will turn the tables on Gog, the northern leader of this invasion, and he will deal with him in a way that is unmistakably clear. Now, God isn't finished after he sends this earthquake. Please notice that God says here, it will come about on that day when Gog, the leader of the northern invasion, comes against the land of Israel, and it is for that reason that God acts. Notice God is not acting because the leader of the northern invasion has attacked the people of Israel yet. God is acting purely because this leader, this pagan, heathen, evil leader and his troops have dared to stampede Almighty God's land. This is the reason for God's tremendous anger. God owns the entire world. But he has specifically set aside land on this globe for his purposes and for his people. And that land is not to be divvied up by evil, paganistic individuals who think that it's theirs for the taking. How dare Gog, the leader of this northern invasion, think he can simply waltz onto Almighty God's land and do what he wants to do, taking what he thinks he can take. Almighty God is going to let Gog have it once and for all. Because by taking his troops and invading Israel, he has literally called Almighty God out. The land of Israel is God's land. And he has had enough of people trying to divide it up and break it apart. The world needs to know that the Lord God is the owner of the land in question and no one else. You know, it's funny to hear leaders of these various nations, including our own nation here in America, talk about two-state solutions and Palestine this and Palestine that. And some groups want Jerusalem to be the capital of Palestine. And other groups say, no, it needs to stay with Israel. Well, you know, the reality is God is being very clear here in Ezekiel 38 that it is his land. And people can talk all they want to talk. They can prance around. They can act tough. But in the end, God is going to do what God wants to do. Ultimately, God will stand against the northern invasion to spare his land an assault from a godless enemy, and he will bring glory to his own name because of that. God will show himself as someone who is set apart from all godless humanity and the godless system that moves this world and is the undercurrent, because it's Satan's kingdom. It is governed by Satan and for him, and it is the beginning of the end. So upon seeing Gog and his forces move across his land to the mountains of Israel, Almighty God says, enough! And he causes the earthquake. That earthquake not only gets everyone's attention, but causes tremendous damage. Now, it's my opinion that this event will occur before the start of the tribulation period. When? I have no idea. But I do believe it is a precursor to it. Now, because of this, I also believe that the resultant major earthquake will take out two mosques that currently sit on the Temple Mount. I could be wrong here. But after all, if this earthquake is powerful enough to bring down mountains and walls, knocking over the Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque next to it should be a piece of cake. Could this be the very thing that opens the door for Israel to build their third temple? Well, if it happens like this, it could. But, of course, only time and the events themselves will actually tell us. Now, with this earthquake, God is seemingly just warming up. He then pulls out even more big guns, as I've mentioned the last time, and as the text tells us, pestilence, disease, brother fighting brother, soldier fighting soldier become part of this event. They were all gathered to invade and take over Israel, but they wind up fighting amongst themselves. And that's not even the end. God then begins to send torrential rain, hailstones, fire, brimstone down onto the troops. Try to imagine the scene. Picture it in your mind. It's major. It's catastrophic. A huge earthquake has occurred, leaving plenty of major damage and death in its wake. That's merely the beginning, though, as God really starts to cause havoc. The troops are left, and those who have not been killed, the troops that are left become thoroughly confused, and they start fighting each other. God then even joins the fray and begins bombarding the enemy troops with major rainfall, hailstones, fire, and brimstone. I can't imagine anyone surviving that onslaught. And certainly with Gog dead, Almighty God rains down retribution on the area from which Gog came in the far north of Israel. God, the Lord God, is making a statement here, and he is intending that the entire world sees it, hears it, and understands it. Israel does not raise a finger to help themselves. Do you notice that? Israel, the people, are not even in this picture. They won't need to be, because God comes to the rescue of his land. Now, in fact, at least temporarily, the world will recognize that something supernatural has taken place. They'll see that this could have been, it couldn't have been a coincidence at all. It's too violent. The timing is too perfect. And it's too continuous. No, it must have been something beyond this world's powers. Will people turn to God because of it? Some might, but the majority will not, as we will eventually see. Now, as we move into chapter 39 of Ezekiel, we see a picture of God dealing directly with the leader of the northern invasion. After Almighty God routs the troops who are all set to fight under Gog's command against Israel, no sooner does Gog and his troops set foot on the mountains of Israel when God moves into high gear, creating a tremendously large earthquake, causing mass confusion, slinging rain, hailstones, fire, and brimstone at the invaders. No one will be able to withstand that onslaught. No one will be able to withstand it. But God isn't done with Gog yet. Almighty God has a point to make, and he wants to be sure that Gog does not miss that point. The point is simple. Almighty God, not Gog, the leader of the northern invasion, is in charge of world affairs, especially as those affairs relate to Israel. Listen to this text, Ezekiel 39, 1 through 6. Quote, "And you, son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, Gog, prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal, and I will turn you around, drive you on, take you up from the remotest parts of the north and bring you against the mountains of Israel. I will strike your bow from your left hand, and dash down your arrows from your right hand. You will fall on the mountains of Israel, you and all your troops and the peoples who are with you. I will give you as food to every kind of predatory bird and beast of the field. You will fall on the open field, for it is I who have spoken, declares the Lord God. And I will send fire upon Magog and those who inhabit the coastlands in safety, and they will know that I am the Lord." Again, that's Ezekiel 39, 1 through 6. Now, in these opening verses of chapter 39, God, Almighty God, will again state what he is planning on doing. With respect to Gog, the leader of the northern invasion, Almighty God will, number one, turn him around. Two, drive him on. Three, bring him up to the mountains of Israel. Four, knock the weapons out of his hands. Five, cause him to fall on the mountains of Israel. That's in death, by the way. Six, he's going to kill the troops. Seven, dead men will become food for carrion and beasts. Eight, Almighty God will then pour out his wrath and retribution on Magog. And that's the land, the area of the world where Gog came from. Now, Almighty God does all these things for the same purpose, so that the people will know that he is God. This is important, especially in our discussion of Israel today. What happens there is solely due to God's timing, His goals, and His will. Yet too many people look at Israel and say they don't deserve to have any land in the Middle East. Too many from the world society blame Israel for the ills and the wars of the Middle East. This is so absurd because Israel is not the ones who are constantly making threats. Israel is not vowing to destroy every last Palestinian or Arab in the region. Israel is not promoting violence against Syria, Jordan, Egypt, and other Middle East territories and nations. However, people wrongly believe that Israel does not deserve what she has. Therefore, the entire problem of the Middle East conflict is laid at Israel's feet, with rare exceptions. In truth, the people of Israel have very little to do with things. So far, God has promised to restore the land of Israel. We learned that in chapter 36 of Ezekiel. And then He will bring back the people to the land. Once He does that, and He's been doing that, He'll begin the process of cleansing the remnant from their sin through Jesus Christ. Then, to show the world that He is fully in charge, God will cause a strong leader from the north of Israel to gather the troops along with armies from allied nations, and together they will attempt to attack Israel. However, as soon as those armies step foot on the mountains of Israel, God will deal with them. They will not even get to harm one Jew. They simply will not get that far before God strikes them, and it is because they've stepped on God's mountains of Israel. He is that jealous for His land, not just the people. The people of Israel today, unfortunately, in most cases, are godless. So, are they the people of many nations? They are. And the people of many nations are just as godless. This is not reason enough, though, to cast them off. The overriding factor should be based on what God says He's doing in the Middle East, not whether or not we think the people of Israel are supposedly righteous or not. They are not righteous. They are sinners, fallen, and most are without salvation, just like the Arabs in neighboring nations. The one difference, though, between Israel and all other nations is what God has promised He will do with the land of Israel and the nation of Israel. That's the only difference. That's what set Israel, the land and the remnant, aside for God to do His work. This is the only reason why Israel, the land and nation, should be supported, because God continues to carry out His plans for that land and nation. There's nothing we can do to rationalize away our needed support for Israel. To do so, any way you slice it, opposes God and His purposes. Again, why is God supporting the land and the nation of Israel? It is solely because He promised to do just that through Abraham, and He is keeping His part of the bargain. And in doing so, He will bring tremendous honor and glory to His name. That is the only reason He is doing what He is doing with respect to Israel. Does God not see what Israel does? Is He blind to the callousness of the people of Israel in their constant rejection of Him? Does He overlook their sin and rebellion? Well, He no more overlooks Israel's callous sin and rebellion than He does with any person or any nation. The reality, though, is that He has promised to turn that nation around, and He will do it. We judge from outward appearances. We see what Israel is involved in, and we condemn. We do not do the same thing with the Arab nations, though, do we? We somehow hold Israel to a higher standard with more accountability. We blame them for the crucifixion of Jesus and say God is done with Israel, when that is not the biblical truth. Was God done with Adam and Eve? Did Jesus cast Peter permanently aside when he denied knowing Him? Does God cast you or me aside when we sin? The reality is that there is nothing in Scripture that would attempt to show God came to a point where He actually said, "I've had it with Israel. They are dead to me. Never again will I deal with them." Well, that's our show for today. I thank you so much for joining me. And until we meet again, may God open your eyes to show you how blessed you are.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.